Tonight in News Extra, the man who committed what may be the crime of the century. His name is John Wayne Gacy, convicted of killing 33 innocent people and destroying hundreds of lives.
Death is just a pretty relief.
You know, if I wanted to kill somebody, I'd take this book and beat you to death with it, and I wouldn't feel a thing.
He had killed more than a dozen people and eaten some of them in his Milwaukee apartment that was literally a house of horrors.
I have no memory of beating him to death, but I must have.
Caitlin, a history buff, and Sarah, a crime junkie, team up to talk about different true crime cases, from the scariest serial killers to cults, even cannibalism, and the dangers that may lurk around the corner. This is Crime and Punishment.
Welcome back.
Yep. Welcome back to Crime and Punishment. I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Sarah. And we have yet another guest with us this week, a new person.
Hi.
What's your name?
I'm Tori.
Yeah, this is Tori. This is Caitlin's cousin.
Mm-hmm.
My new friend.
We're BFFs now.
So tell us a little about yourself.
I'm Caitlin's cousin.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Right.
According to you, I'm old.
Oh, yes. Rip.
Yes.
But I'm not. I do hair.
Uh-huh.
And I'm here today.
Yes. I love it.
She's one of our most avid listeners.
Most it's definitely. True. We get like update texts while she's listening every time. And I eat it up because I'll be like away from my phone and come back to like 30 texts from Tori being like, oh my God, this is crazy. And I'm like,
well, the thing is too, is that she'll say something and like knowing that what we talked about, we're like, she don't know what's coming.
Yeah,
she
doesn't know what's coming. For real. So we
I just get excited.
That's okay.
That's okay.
Leave me alone.
That's how it should be. We have decided we're going to start asking guests when they come on. Mm-hmm. Do you have like a favorite true crime case or like a favorite like aspect of like crime that you're really into? Like Caitlin like is weirdly into cannibalism.
I don't know. I think it's fascinating.
Like, we've everyone has like this. A little like niche thing. Do you have one?
Gosh, that's putting me so on the spot.
She said I wasn't prepared for this.
Can we circle back?
Yeah, we can circle back. Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. So you guys haven't heard from us in about 2 weeks. We unexpectedly took a 2-week little break to go camping and to go play in the woods.
Yes, which was so much fun. We took our friend Heather with us and she is afraid of heights. And we went to Garden of the Gods, which is just rock climbing to a certain extent.
But very high. Yes,
yeah, absolutely. And she was terrified of heights, but she did a good job. We had a good time.
She did good. Yeah, I feel like it didn't take her long to get out of her comfort
zone.
Yeah,
we went out there and we stayed at the campground out there and we car camped.
I'm already ready to go back. I was just talking to my dad last night about it. I said, is it crazy to like plan another trip? And he goes, you're
not
adult.
If you're going up
he goes,
there.
He goes, what you want to do? And I said,
yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It's not that far away.
No, it's really not bad.
Mm-mm.
No.
Yeah, Heather's already been talking about a next potential trip too.
Really?
Wrong people. Yeah. Anyway, that turned into, oh snap, it's spring break and no one's in to let us into the studio anyway. So we took another week off.
No, for sure.
Because we couldn't record because we realized it was spring break.
For sure. But that's okay. We did, 3 episodes straight? That's good for us.
Exactly, yeah.
That's good for us. So we're going to jump right back into what we talked about before was our true crime update, which I think we're actually going to start calling our killer events.
I love that.
My dad came up with that last night.
I love it so much.
Yeah, he came up with
that. How do you feel about our new name?
I like it.
Nice.
Thank you.
Our once a month.
Thank you.
Update.
I think so. It's like your current events, but
yeah.
Seems pretty killer.
But thank you. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So basically we're going to be talking about cases that have been unfolding in the past couple weeks, basically like a month span we're trying to do.
Yeah.
But some stuff, there's stuff from like a year ago that's now developing further. So we're going to be kind of following along with what's going on, happening around us and around you.
Yeah. But staying true to how we have set up our podcast in the past. Anybody have any book updates or updates in general?
Do you read, Tori?
Do I read?
Have you seen that video of that girl and Jack Harlow?
Yes.
And he's talking about
chicken shop date.
And she goes, can you read? He goes, what is this?
He doesn't look like
he could.
So.
She goes, that's not what I meant. I meant, do you read?
What I said.
he doesn't look like he knows how to read.
That's okay. That's okay.
I just finished The Wayward Bus, which I'd been reading for a couple weeks by John Steinbeck, and I'm now reading Brave New World, which is a change of pace.
I'm currently reading Wuthering Heights still.
Again, still.
Yeah. Well, I think this time around, I'm taking so much more time reading it because
y'all
have been crying.
Her book is absolutely covered in annotations and highlighter and pen.
Who are you annotating it for, Sarah?
You can read it when I'm done. Let me tell you.
I requested that a month and a half ago.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, listen, because I've read this book, I know for sure, two times and annotated it.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back at my annotations now, why I was so angry, I don't know.
Your opinions change.
Exactly. And I think that's part of the thing is I'm reading it now in like a completely different place in my life. And I'm like, now I'm reading it and Tori, I'm just sobbing. And it's not even
stuff. She'll text me and she'll be like, I've been crying for 2 hours.
Yeah. Like, and it's like stuff that's never made me cry before. I'm just sitting there just crying and I can't stop. So it's been taking me longer to get through, but she's yours when I'm done because, oh my God, I have paragraphs on every, like, every margin of every page. There are just paragraphs because I'm feeling a lot of things lately. But besides that, I just got two new books literally 15 minutes
in the parking lot.
They're both about the Bronte sisters, and I'm extremely excited about that. So I'm going to be starting one of those tonight.
They're nonfiction. One of them's like 900 pages.
That's okay.
You still haven't read any other Bronte yet,
have
you?
No.
I'm trying to get her to read Jane Eyre.
And I want to, but everybody always talks about how, like, Charlotte Bronte, she's like the writer, she's the best writer of the three. And I am so beyond, like, Team Emily. I feel like I'm not going to give her a fair enough chance.
I think it's people who probably prefer more romance that are saying that.
And I think that's why I don't like Jane Austen.
Different.
Yeah.
Writing styles.
I think that's why I don't like Jane Austen. Jane Austen focuses way too much on romance.
Super depressing.
Really?
Like, if you think Emily Bronte is depressing, no.
I love Emily.
Tenet of Wildfell Hall is horrific.
You have that one. Yeah, I gave it to you for Christmas.
That's on my list for this year, too.
I feel like this is just turning into talking about the Bronte.
That's okay. That's part of it.
I think that Jane Eyre is like a mix of Pride and Prejudice-esque writing and Wuthering Heights.
Yeah.
Like, that's the vibes I get.
I read half of Emma and decided I was blacklisting.
We were trying
Jane Austen.
Jane Austen hated Emma. Notoriously.
Then why are we writing it? Because it was a terrible book.
There was a royal that she, like, had to dedicate it to.
Yeah, she dedicated it to somebody. Yeah.
Well,
but
I tried to read it together. All of my books of Jane Austen. Every single copy I had.
She went on like
I kept my copy of Emma because I'm halfway through and one day in like 30 years I might want to pick it up again and it's a pretty cover. So I kept that one. But I have been recollecting them because I'm like, I didn't give her fair enough
chance.
So
here's what you do. You read Northanger Abbey, which was actually written when she was 11, but published after she died. It is like way more gothic than any of
really?
Her others.
I think I just...
So that would be like a good like entry level.
I think so, because the uppity like high society and we're just going to cry and complain because we don't have everything. I can't stand it.
No.
Can't stand it.
I thought Emma was good.
Really?
Yeah.
I couldn't get through it.
Because we were trying to read it together and then you just dipped.
Part of it was we were going to read it together and then 2 days in, Caitlin was like, yeah, I'm 100 and something pages in. I was like, I'm on page 10.
I also feel like
she just flew past me with it.
I feel like everyone's like, ooh, Darcy, which, like, don't get me wrong. Yeah, absolutely. But in Northanger Abbey, Henry Tilney, I feel like of all of Jane Austen's heroes, he's a lot more personality
really?
Than anybody else's. Like, he's super quirky and he, like, cracks a lot of jokes and he's really, like, sarcastic and kind of, like, off to the side making comments about society. But
oh,
then
see,
serious
I love that.
When he needs to be.
See, realized the other day, I think it's I'm so unbelievably attracted to Heathcliff in Wuthering Heights, and I realize that's not probably the best in interest.
Not at all.
No. Literally, all he talks about is like killing everybody, and I'm just like swooning over the fact that I'm like, oh, he
You're
loves
like,
her. It's fine.
This is exactly why you would have been in the Manson family.
It's true. Anyways.
My bad.
I'm reading Out of the Silent Planet by C.S. Lewis.
Oh, nice.
Really? I've never read any of C.S. Lewis.
Yeah, my brother was talking about it, so I started reading it. Apparently, because, like, you know, he and Tolkien were, like, really good friends.
Yeah.
They had, like, made a pact or whatever to both write a book that was, like, more sci-fi outer space. And they're like, yeah, okay, so Tolkien never wrote one, and C.S. Lewis wrote three.
I got beef with Tolkien.
And they were lovers.
No.
Not at all. I see her face just now.
Spoken like someone who hasn't read any C.S. Lewis.
No, for sure. For sure. I've
Mr.
never...
Narnia.
Huh? Oh, I know what Narnia is.
I almost, Mr. Tumnus, am I right?
Huh? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Am I right? Huh? Yes.
I feel like we're learning some things today.
I agree. I agree.
That's so funny.
Anyways. Oh, yeah. Are you watching anything good lately?
She's been watching Love on the Spectrum.
It's true. I started.
There's nothing like reality TV.
I started. Okay, but specifically Love on the Spectrum.
Like, I can't get into it.
I started season two of Love on the Spectrum Australia, and I actually watched. So the order was like this. I watched the American version, season two, and then season one, because I had not really like heard of it before.
Checked out.
And then I've gone back and started watching the Australia version. And I actually like, I think it's funnier. It's kind of like, not like making fun, but like kind of like when you watch The Office UK.
Oh, yeah.
It's way more dry, and like, I don't know, just the sense of humor is very different in the Australian version. And I really
couldn't
like
get into it. I started watching.
And I get so...
We've all been watching reality TV then.
Yes. I know. I get so annoyed though, because like they'll set them up on these dates, and this girl will be like set up with another guy who has autism, but she's kind of the focus. And this guy is like spectacular. Like, I was sending Caitlin videos of it yesterday. Man's knew every dinosaur on the face of the planet. Like, he was risen her up hardcore.
Yeah, with the dinosaurs, it would work on me.
And everything else, same. And she's just like, no, I'm not interested. But it's okay, because she got her like her comeuppance, because he ends up being like very like centered on in season two, and she's not
really.
So I'm like, yes, justice.
Justice for Dinosaur Man.
Checks out.
Absolutely. Yeah. And he was so sweet. He was like really interested, and she was not about it.
Yeah.
I love unrequited love.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
During school, I'm only on episode two still, but I've been watching The Golden Bachelor. Just when I do school in my room and I'm like, it's late, and I'm like, huh, let me just throw something on. Those women are crazy.
Yeah,
it's so funny. Yeah. Those women are insane.
Yeah, I've been just watching Love is Blind like every other American.
So good, though.
I watched the first season. Didn't we watch the first season together?
I've never seen it.
I'd say I started on season six. I started on the newest season. No,
I watched the first season and it was so horrific.
Watch the terrible. Newest season, because I was the talking to someone yesterday and they were like, the first couple seasons were like, they focus way more on like the feelings and the love aspect. She goes, the newest, like last two seasons focus on like everybody just screaming and fighting, and I am eating it up. I am eating it up.
It's been crazy.
I guarantee you, I out of like all five couples, I think one is going to get married. I don't see the other four happening.
Oh, dang.
So two already out, two already broke up, so there's only two other potential besides the one I'm confident about. So
we'll see.
There you have it.
We'll see. So let's get into the cases.
No,
finally,
for sure.
Like we said, we're doing an update today of real world true crime cases that are unfolding right now.
Yeah, so we've got some big name cases thrown in here, mm-hmm. and we also have some smaller stuff that's just been happening that we thought was kind of interesting and cool. So without further ado,
these are the killer events of March.
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun. First thing we're going to talk about, just like last true crime update, is Miss Gypsy Rose Blanchard Anderson, because she hyphenated her name on social media.
Yeah.
We talked about her release last month and everything she's been doing since. Definitely, she's loving being in the spotlight, but lately it seems like she's kind of taking a step back, we've noticed.
Yeah, so her Instagram has been made private.
I noticed that the other day when I was researching for this, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
And she has like 10 posts and like maybe 70 followers.
Her TikTok is still public, but even the stuff she's posting on there is less of like...
I wonder if she got in trouble or if she got a PR manager.
See, that's what I think too, because she's posting more like family-based stuff. Like the last thing I saw is her like going bowling for the first time ever.
I saw that.
And like being with her family and stuff. And I was like, this is very wholesome. What's going on?
Well, I saw her at the Olive Garden behind my mom a few weeks ago, but like the 47-year-old version.
Oh, I thought she was being serious. Oh, no. I was like, there ain't... That is Gypsy Rose.
That's what I'm saying.
That is terrifying.
That's what I'm saying. It's
Let me see.
And that's terrifying.
I was trying to tell mom to kind of move just slightly so I could take a picture, and she's like, so obvious.
That is terrifying.
This is my mom.
What the heck?
Trying to not be obvious.
Just being a girl.
She's in Owensboro, in case you were wondering.
I sure feel like it.
All right, guys. Time travel Gypsy Rose is in Owensboro.
Can you imagine?
Time travel?
Yeah, because she's older.
Yeah.
Older.
She came back.
I did say that because she looks like
47. She said I did say that.
Yeah. I'm tracking her.
But yeah, she dyed her hair blonde. The real Gypsy Rose, not the one in Owensboro. She cut her hair and dyed it blonde. I think it looks good. Have you seen pictures of
Gypsy
Rose
on her
recently?
She looks really good with blonde hair.
to like not like Ariana Grande, who doesn't
look like
it's not like blonde. It's like, and it's like a honey brown blonde kind of situation.
Nasty bleached eyebrows.
Yeah, I don't like Ariana Grande, but that's a hot take.
That, I'm right there with you.
That's a hot take, she says. She definitely seems to have like chilled out compared to what she was posting when she first got out of jail. So it's kind of nice to see.
Yeah. I think it's the kind of content we were all expecting from her from the get-go. Just finally, like, getting a chance at living, like, a normal life and experiencing, like, things like dyeing your hair and going bowling, you know, the normal stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Most of us were getting worried, which we talked about in the last True Crime update. We were getting worried about how much she was being interviewed and, like, running with the opportunity of fame and, like, social media stardom. So.
Yeah, which is, like we mentioned earlier, I wonder if she got, like, or someone on her team stepped in and was like, listen, I think we need to, like, take a step back from all of this. And I think
it's like, girl, or maybe even a lawyer. Like, girl, you're about to get yourself in trouble.
Literally, it was a little scary.
Yeah, so the next case we're looking at took place in New York. There was a girl walking to school like she does every morning.
This was my favorite one, I think you found.
Only that she stumbled upon a severed arm in a park. Ooh. In the bushes.
Yes, yes. A whole freaking arm.
Yeah.
Just in the bushes, dude. Can you imagine being a young little girl walking to school? Oh, there's a body part. So she, I think it's funny because she does the same exact thing that I would have done in this
situation.
No,
because I was reading it.
How old is this girl?
I don't know. It didn't mm-hmm. say. Old enough to be walking to school alone, but
I would say probably,
young enough to still be in school.
I would New York, say probably, so she could be like 6 years old.
No, exactly.
Yeah, I was thinking probably middle school though.
That's what I was figuring. So she does what any girl would do when she calls her dad.
No, legit. I read that. I said she's real for that because I would have done the same thing.
Me too. And so her dad basically shows up and he does what the adult does.
Well, the thing is he verifies that it's a real human arm and then calls the
police.
Well,
can you imagine your child calling you, hey, I think I found an arm in a bush? My brain's like, no, you didn't. You liar. You didn't. I'm going to come check it out.
At work, and he's like, guys, I gotta go.
Exactly.
So the fingertips were removed from the hand of the arm, but it's not been released to the public just how they had been removed.
Yeah,
but there is a clear and visible tattoo on the arm.
Yes. So
it's a tattoo.
I don't know.
It didn't say,
but I'm like, sure they're keeping that secretive about it.
Like, it's New
I feel
York.
Like they're giving you like little like snippets, morsels, and you're like, I want to know. And
no,
like,
for sure. That's how the news always is anymore.
Like, why
right?
would you tell me there's a tattoo and not tell me what it is?
No,
inquiring
for sure.
Minds.
Inquiring minds want to know.
So police dogs were brought in to sweep the area, and they then discovered a disembodied leg, quote unquote, sticking out of a pile of leaves. Dogs were then found a second severed arm 20 feet away from the first one. And authorities claim that the body parts have been there for, or they haven't been there for very long, but that the gender is currently still unidentified.
The case is currently being investigated as a homicide, but 2 weeks prior, a man's leg was found in the Bronx on train tracks, and officials entertained the theory that the man either jumped or fell and his remains were dragged miles out. So that's why the remains are there.
Which I don't buy
in
that.
In the woods?
Why exactly. would the fingerprints be cut off?
Exactly. Also, let me tell you, they have identified. There's two people that they've identified.
When was the last time you saw a train in New York right next to a pile of leaves?
No, that's what I'm saying.
Bro.
Well, the thing is they're trying to, I don't know. It's just, it doesn't make sense.
Something's not adding up. But yeah, I think the theory is kind of a joke.
No,
I think
for sure.
It definitely looks like it was the body parts were attempted to be hidden just like in a very poor manner.
No, exactly.
It's a very poor attempt.
I saw something more recently, like since we've kind of done a little bit of research on this. There are 4 people that have been detained as suspects in this because they identified there were 2 different bodies. Yeah, 2 different people, a man and a woman in their 50s. And they were charged, but the laws in the state of New York allowed them to be released because of bail laws. So they're not allowed to post bail for them. So they just got released with ankle monitors, GPS monitors.
I love that.
One of the accused was apparently a cousin of one of the victims as well. So
checks out. It's always someone you know.
No, for sure.
It's 90% of the time.
I thought that was interesting
because
I was kind
of
like, oh, okay. But now, politicians and stuff in New York are pushing for reforms on the bail laws.
Bro. Mm-hmm. As they should.
No, exactly.
So moving right along, our next topic is Jody Hildebrandt and Ruby Frankie.
Did you know anything about this before we brought it up on the podcast? The 8 passengers issue?
Yes. Okay. Like, so I saw like clips on TikTok.
That's for a bit. I think
it was before it got like before there was like a whole lot out about what was going on, I was just seeing people kind of like resharing posts of how crazy she was.
And going, no, me and like too. That's going where back I through started. Her and then like months YouTube. Later is when she got caught. And I was like, how did I line this up perfectly? Because it was all these like old YouTube clips of like,
yeah, they were like, look at what she's doing. She did. And now the YouTube channel is gone.
Yeah. So we did a little brief like overview of this case on our first episode that we did like a kind of update situation. So definitely go check that out if you're confused what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But because it's too much to unpack a second time.
No, for sure.
But there has been like a break in this case lately. Not break, but like big news in the case, I guess, development. They have, both women have finally been sentenced.
Yes.
Which is so exciting.
Ruby laid it on thick during her statement, stating that officials who removed her children were, quote, angels. Took them out of the situation.
Yeah.
She admitted to causing harm to her children, but that she was led to believe she was saving them from a world of evil, being guided by her unlicensed counselor, Jody.
Yeah, I still think they were lesbians, but.
No, for sure. And they were roommates.
And they were roommates. So state prosecutor Eric Clark compared the environment of Frankie's children that they faced to a concentration camp-like setting and said that Frankie, quote-unquote, committed horrible acts of child abuse. And while addressing Hildebrandt's charges, Clark called her a significant threat to the community.
Imagine someone saying that about you. She's a threat to the community.
For sure.
They should say that about me.
Not in this context, crazy one.
I'm kidding.
Ruby did in fact testify against Jody, which is interesting because they were both placed in custody. Ruby was the one constantly wanting to see Jody and trying to get glimpses of her. So I'm curious about what happened there.
Again, I agree.
Lesbians.
I agree. I think she's, yeah. Yes. But I think in the way of like, this is just speculation, by the way, this is not fact, but I think in the way of lesbians where Jody used it as like a power maneuver.
That's fair.
Rather than like anything actually being feelings there, we're on Ruby's end. I think it was more of like a love stance rather than realizing she was getting like manipulated the entire situation. So it is what it is. But Ruby pleaded guilty and was sentenced to 4 1-to-30-year terms in prison and given a $10,000 fine.
That's broad.
I agree.
Exactly.
30? Yes.
So it could literally be 4 years.
Yeah.
No, exactly. And that's the thing I don't understand, because usually when you're given four sentencings of those terms, there's a minimum of 4 and there would be a maximum of 120 years. But for some reason, they're giving her in total a minimum of 4 and a maximum of 30, despite having it.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
Because they're supposed to just add on to each other, but she's being given a minimum of 4 for those 4 counts and a maximum of 30 altogether.
That's so dumb.
So I think it's kind of messed up, but she's rich, so she'll probably get out in like 4 or 5. I guarantee it. Guarantee it.
I don't know, because, I mean, does it still apply to women? I know with like men in prison that if you've messed with women or kids, like, you don't last long in prison. Do women feel the same way?
I don't think so.
I don't think so
either. I'm like,
take
her out.
I agree.
Take her out.
But I don't think so.
I don't think it is.
Mm-mm.
That's a good point, though.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, it is.
I agree.
So, days following, Jody followed and pleaded guilty on the same terms. Ruby's husband, Kevin, and two of their oldest children, Chad and Sherry. I messed it up last time, too. It spelled so weird.
Yeah.
Appeared in the court during her sentencing. She claimed Kevin was the love of her life and that it was a tragedy to see their marriage ending.
Yeah, I don't know. Ruby's family appealed to the court and were granted the right to read statements where they tried to push all the blame on Jody, which
I saw that too.
Is basically what Ruby's doing as
Like, oh, she brainwashed her.
Yeah. Well, you're so responsible for your actions. So Ruby had accepted her basically as a leader, and she was led to believe that she was saving her children and thought that God was talking to her through Jody. Her family had stated that, quote unquote, she was so deeply brainwashed that they could barely recognize her.
I saw that and I was like, okay.
But I was reading that for like months before all this happened, that they hadn't talked to her and stuff because, well, she was so brainwashed. We didn't like recognize her. You're just going to not do anything?
We're not going to acknowledge this and
no,
try to get her
literally.
Help?
They were just like, oh, you're doing something.
Well, you're an adult.
See you later.
I'm sure there's going to be a documentary about this entire case soon. Honestly, I'm surprised that there hasn't been like rumors of one on Hulu already.
Well, there was one on Hulu.
When it first started.
But it was more about like the YouTube channel rather than like anything with the case.
That makes sense.
It was like them getting busted, basically.
All right. She's leading up to it.
Yeah.
This case has been moving very fast. And her son, escaped and got authorities' attention only 6 months ago, and we're already seeing two women get sentenced, which is crazy to
It's crazy.
I didn't realize it had only been 6 months.
No, for real. Usually cases like that don't move. Don't move that quickly at all. But anyways, our next case that we're going to be hitting on takes place in Oregon during August of last year. But we are just now hearing about it because of the internet.
Yeah,
so.
This one, it was kind of strange because I found it and then it seemed like it was a case that was developing now, but it doesn't seem like he's the guy in this is in jail. I don't know. It was hard to it was hard to understand, but we're throwing it in here. A young Oregon girl frequently had her friends over for sleepovers at her house, as almost every little girl does.
No, literally.
No one ever thought anything of it. The parents never felt weird about sending their daughter over there. Like, you know, it seemed like they were all friends. The parents had met each other, whatever it was safe. So they would never suspect anything.
Right. So one of the young girls that was staying at that house thought it was weird how involved that the dad was getting into their sleepovers.
When he had never been before.
Right. And so he ended up making the girls smoothies. And thank God this little girl trusted her gut because she was so uncomfortable with the situation.
Because
she
was like making them drink these smoothies.
Yeah. And she was like, I'm not. No. So she ended up texting her mom, quote unquote, the text message being, Mom, please pick me up. Say I had a family emergency. I don't feel safe. I might not respond, but please come get me. Crying emoji. Please. Please pick me up. Please. All caps. Please.
Yeah.
So if I get that text, bro, I'll be there in 2 minutes.
I'm also calling everybody
I'm levitating, dude. Oh my gosh.
Imagine getting that text. Oh my God.
Yeah. So the dad was combative when the parents of the girl showed up because apparently there were some discrepancies in the news reports that I was reading, but apparently the mom contacted the other parents of the other girls that were there, and like they all showed up.
Right.
But the dad stated that the girls were asleep. They were taken to, like, they were like, no, give me my kid.
For sure.
Right? Like,
legit. I'm like,
who
okay.
are you to say, sorry, you can't come get your child?
She's sleeping
She's
right
your
now.
She's
sleeping.
Yeah. Like, okay, I'm going to carry her to the car.
That door.
No, for sure. The girls were taken to the hospital when several of them had a hard time walking or talking, which is when the police go and get the girl side of the story the next day. Authorities believe the man had been drugging the girls with the smoothies. We can only assume the motive.
Yeah, I just can't imagine what would happen if she didn't send that text.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess it was the girl that didn't, like, she pretended to be asleep because all the other ones were, and she was coming in, like, talking about he was making sure the girls were asleep, like waving his hand in front of their face, sticking his finger up their nose.
Oh,
and I was like, hello. Yeah.
My God. I didn't know that
part. So
the dad actually has just turned himself into the police earlier this month, which I find weird. He turned himself in to plead not guilty.
No, exactly.
That's why there's
only
so much
guilty
that's
person
what I'm
does
saying.
That.
There's so much back and forth with this. I'm like, okay, we're just now hearing about it because he turned himself in, but then he's like, I didn't actually do that.
But I didn't do it, guys. I'm just coming down here to let you know I'm an innocent man. It's like, nobody does that. So the case is still developing, but it's known that after, like, pretty much after this all happened, his wife divorced him, like, instantly, which I thought was...
Yeah, no,
nobody just gets a divorce if you're not doing something.
No,
so,
exactly.
I don't know. It's not making him look too good.
No, not at all. Not at all.
No.
The next case, which I'm sure that Tori has heard about, broke the internet a few years back. For those who remember Gabby Petito, there is an update in the case. For those who don't remember, she was a young adult, about in her 20s, traveling the country with her boyfriend, Brian Laundrie, when police pulled them over. When the car was speeding and weaving on the road, upon pulling them over, Gabby was seen crying. Brian and her had gotten into a fight. It was decided that the two needed to be separated for the night so the situation couldn't escalate.
Right. So jumping over a lot of details.
Yeah. I would say if you've been on the internet any amount of time, do you know about this case?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought. I was like,
everyone did.
It was everywhere.
I was following it for months.
Me too. So basically, Brian returns home with no girlfriend, no Gabby there at all.
No.
No one knew where she was or what had happened to her, but he was the last person to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
And he refused to talk about anything. And his parents especially refused to make him talk about anything. So a few months later, her remains were found in a national forest. And Brian, I guess, I don't believe this, but apparently he couldn't take the heat and he went and killed himself in the woods. Personally, don't think he killed himself. I think he's on the run, because the only That's evidence valid. They had to tie him to that body is the fact that there were teeth of his laying around on the ground.
Exactly.
Sorry, I'd pull a teeth and run for it too.
Okay, yeah. But my thing is, you're telling me that his parents, because of how old he is and how old his parents are, didn't have a box of his teeth sitting around in their house?
For sure.
Because I know for sure I have a box of my teeth sitting around in my house.
Me too.
And my grandma has my dad's teeth sitting in her house.
That's so odd that we do that.
I have mine in a little vial hanging off like a fancy belt that I made for
for the Renaissance Festival.
It's actually in the back of my car.
Yeah,
right,
my
now.
Dad has our wisdom teeth that he wants to turn into a necklace.
I love that. So randy.
I think part of the reason why they went ahead and speculated that that was his body was because wasn't the whole thing like there was some book that he had read, and the entire like unfolding of everything that happened was what happened in the book, and it ended in the killer killing himself. I thought. I could be
that
know
very well could be
that he had a
but
notebook.
But my thing is, I know there was a notebook
was a, there
that was
a
found.
Book
yeah,
he was reading.
Oh,
that very well
that.
Could be.
Yeah.
But even so, how easy it is. Oh, I know this book. Yeah. I love this book. How easy of an idea is it to just fit it into the story? You know what I mean? I think he's on the run. I 1000% think he is not dead.
Yeah. So this case has been pretty quiet recently. But apparently Gabby Petito's parents are now suing the Moab, Utah City Police Department for $50 million in a wrongful death lawsuit, stating that the responding officer should have noticed the warning signs of domestic violence and abuse when they pulled them over.
Right.
They claim the responding officers treated Brian like a victim and did nothing to protect Gabby.
Which I
think it's...
I don't agree with it.
No, because how often... You know, do people
they
get
separated them for the night?
That's what I'm saying.
What I mean, what are they supposed to do?
No,
you can't arrest them.
Also, did she willingly go back to him? The
exactly.
Next day?
Exactly. So, she was defending him. She's like, "Oh, we just got in a little argument," which I understand that that's what someone that's being abused is going to do. They're going to so that they.
I agree.
Don't
yes upset the other person. Yes, yes and make it worse.
Make it worse. But still, I'm like, you can't say that the police should have known that there was domestic violence
no,
and abuse
exactly.
going on there. You know what I mean?
I think they stepped in as much as they could.
Exactly.
You know, what are you supposed to do? But at the end of last year, the Petito family actually sued the Laundries mm-hmm. in a civil case for wrongful death. And they ended up winning it. They didn't ever take it to court, which the Laundries were pushing not to, I think, because they're obviously kind of guilty in a sense for
yeah.
covering up the fact that their son killed somebody and
yeah.
they never told authorities because it was found out that he had
yep.
admitted it to them.
I'm pretty sure he had. Yeah.
yeah. And they never turned him in, never did nothing about it. So they kept it out of court, but they did end up paying the Petito family $3 million.
Good Lord. Us, along with everyone else, were waiting to hear more on this because it just seems like now it's just one big legal battle.
No, that's exactly what
it is. For more money.
So our next case covers two Ohio women who have been accused of driving the body of a deceased 80-year-old man to the bank to withdraw money from his account before dropping him off at the hospital.
So this one I saw when I was at work in the newspaper, and I said, and I texted Sarah, and I said, have you heard about this? She goes, my grandpa was talking
yeah,
to
my grandpa was talking
at family
about
dinner. This one sounds exactly like it is. The police were called when two women brought this dead old man into the hospital without identifying themselves or him. They eventually were able to identify the man and the two women and believed there was help of a third individual. They had placed the dead man into the car after discovering in his home, which they all shared. And they took him to the bank, withdrew an undisclosed amount of money, making sure his corpse was sitting visible enough for the bank teller to see him in the car. Which, if you've ever gone and withdrawn money, unless they were using an ATM, which I don't think they were. I think they were using one of the little tubes with where you have to send your ID in.
Right.
They talk to you. So, like, did he just...
Yeah, but if it's an old man, he might need someone to take him and stuff. You know
also,
what I mean?
How old were the two women?
I have no idea. It did not
in
tell
my mind,
me.
I think they were, like, in their
40s. Arsenic and old lace.
I think they were in, like, their 30s or 40s.
I thought I was thinking 40s.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, if they were, like, a little bit older, it could be, like, George in the back seat has just had a rough day.
See, I figured he was in the front seat. Not driving, obviously. Duh.
I figured passenger.
He's just taking a nap, guys.
No, and that's how I kind of figured. I mean, he's present.
And he wanted us to
he's an old man,
out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one of the women actually had been in a relationship with him.
Oh.
All right.
Yeah. While the other had just been like casually living with them. I don't know.
It feels very weird. Yeah.
I don't like this.
Me neither. But there was no serious motive discovered. The women claimed they were taking the money out like normal to pay for the bills of the house and stated that it was common for them to take money out of that account and that he never cared before. But it just seems odd if you find a dead person. Let's go to the bank first to cover the bills.
No, for sure.
But
I think there could have been, like, there's some legal way to go about
for
that.
For sure. So they are both still in custody at the moment, and that's kind of the end of that one.
Yeah.
So
probably will be the end of that
one,
honestly.
I agree. I'm sure we'll know nothing else about it.
No, for sure. No developments in that one.
No.
So I also found this one. The next case is going to spike a lot of conversation in the true crime world. Have you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I was really excited and I read this too.
I sent it to you because I knew you talk about it a lot. And I was
so
like,
excited
all right.
About this. So this one definitely caught me by surprise when I saw it on the list yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I'm always pushing for justice for the Menendez brothers. Like
Isn't it they like they killed their parents, but their parents were super abusive.
Yes.
Yes. Right? Yeah. So they are both serving life right now. And they've been serving for over 3 decades behind bars in California with no hope of parole. But
partially thanks to their governor.
Right.
I will say no more.
So before we get too deep into it, though, again, like a little recap. It's like the most briefest recap we can give because this case is a doozy.
Crazy.
It's a huge case. But basically, Lyle and Eric, they were convicted of killing both their parents in the late 80s. And they did it because of the abuse in the home, physical, mental, sexual, everything you can think of. I mean, yeah. It was the worst extreme and like gory situation that they could have been in.
Yeah. Do you have something to say?
I was just going
to
say, and this was proven, and I get that it was the 80s, but like, they've already done 30 years. How come Gypsy Rose gets off?
Exactly. And that's why I think this new development is going to be so big in this case, because in the 80s, it was late 80s, nobody believed them. That's what the whole discrepancy was.
They
never
really
denied.
Because they're men.
Exactly. They never denied what they
what
did.
It is.
They admitted straight up, yeah, we killed them. And apparently the murder was gruesome as can be, but look at all the abuse they were in. I'd be doing the same thing.
I think the thing is, though,
nobody abuses men
in
though,
the original.
Exactly.
In the original case, they didn't have anything to solidify that they had been sexually assaulted or abused, right?
Not enough to make a difference.
Exactly, because
it was all basically.
I think if they had more evidence of that, it would be kind of the same case as Gypsy Rose, because like
I
they
agree,
I
but
think
I still
for the
think
time
no.
period though it probably wouldn't
I think
have been.
There still would have been way too much doubt for it
no,
to matter.
No, but I'm saying now if they had more then, they probably now would be looking at it being like, oh yeah guys.
Oh, you
know
for sure, yeah.
Because like there's you can obviously tell Gypsy Rose was like, oh, there were issues there.
No, exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So they were never taken serious for
yeah.
it. But
there's a lot of doubt surrounding the case, like we were just saying.
Yeah.
Like we said, they were sentenced to life without parole and have never seen justice.
Right. So this new evidence that has found was a letter discovered mm-hmm. by their aunt.
Yep.
She found it in an old storage container, just happened to pull it out.
Exactly.
Yes. Apparently it was a letter from Eric to his cousin a year before the murder. So it had there was no influence of like
yep.
trying to cover up a murder because it wasn't even a thing yet. Mm-hmm. And basically in this letter, he had wrote to his cousin that quote unquote, I've been trying to avoid dad. It's still happening, Andy, but it's worse for me now. Every night I stay up thinking he might come in and I'm afraid. He's crazy. He warned me 100 times about telling anyone, especially Lyle. So
I just so obviously since it was just found in a storage box, this evidence was never presented at trial, and the same cousin came and testified at the trial in defense of Eric, but was not believed at the time.
See, that's why I think even if this was brought up in the 80s, I don't think it would have done enough.
I mean, because it's really not been until the last, I almost want to not even 10 years, I'd say like 5. That like especially sexual abuse of men has been
even
that's,
still
that's what yeah. I was telling my dad last night because I was telling him about this. I said, yeah, we're talking about the Menendez brothers, and he looked at me, he goes, that's from the 80s. And I said, I know, and I was telling him about it. He goes no one ever believed him, huh? And I said, no, I said, because if a man says I've been sexually assaulted, nobody cares.
Even still,
they
I don't
take
think
it
people
serious.
Really do.
Oh no, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Even in today's world, it's brushed under the rug. I
yeah.
said, but God forbid, not that I'm discrediting women, but like if a woman calls it out, then
I mean,
it's
it
over
can
for
be,
that man
no,
forever.
Exactly.
Untrue and ruin someone's
exactly.
entire
career
in life. Yeah.
How many celebrities have been accused of? Oh, this woman said I sexually assaulted her, and it's found out that it's not true.
Exactly, but still,
but now it's tied to his name.
No, exactly, and still everyone looks at him like, oh, whatever.
Exactly, and
Brendan
I think
Fraser
that's why
in the early 2000s was claiming it, and nobody listened. And
dude, freaking
exactly.
Drake from Drake and Josh just was on a, I think, yes, he was just on a thing talking about how there was
some producer or something.
Someone else was too.
Matthew Lawrence.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know about Matthew?
Was it Macaulay Culkin
and
too?
Joey Lawrence and the other one, Andrew Lawrence. Yeah,
I don't know who these men are.
Me neither.
Y'all are not. She's Disney old. Channel she original movie kids.
What? Wait, what
no,
movie?
But, Horse Sense.
No, never heard of that.
Oh my gosh! Stop it.
But yeah, I feel like lately it has been coming out that a lot more male child actors have been coming out about it, and I think, and even now it's kind of like people are like iffy to believe it. I'm like,
no, yeah, what? Exactly.
I don't get it, but yeah.
So Lyle, he didn't comment on the discovery at first, but Eric did. He claimed that it was refreshing and exciting to finally have something physical to remove doubt against his claims and that they might finally be believed.
Right. And so again, this is a very new what's up.
I was just saying, like, that's just so sad. It's so sad that what he's excited about right now is not
proving that he got sexually abused.
It's literally just finally somebody believes me.
I told my dad last night because he had said something. He goes, my only thing with them getting out, he goes, is that they've been in there for 30 years. They're institutionalized. I said, I agree with the fact that they never had an environment to grow up in. They grew up in this terrible environment. I said, then they went straight to prison afterwards. I said, where they've been for 30 years. I said, they don't know how to live in the real world.
No, exactly.
Without being something crazy
going on.
Well, and imagine
how much it's changed since the 80s.
No, for sure. And I was telling him, I already forgot. Oh, I was telling him, he goes, I said, honest to God, every picture I've seen of them in prison, I said, they're happy as can be. Mm-hmm. But he goes, happy in prison? And I said, think about where they were to start with.
They're being left alone now.
I said, now they're in a place where they have friends. I said, they've
got some structure.
And honestly, going back to what we were talking about earlier, if the other people in prison know what they've dealt with, that's you don't do it.
No, exactly. Yeah.
So they're going to be the ones that they leave
alone.
I was going to say,
and I pulled up a picture and showed it to them, and they had the biggest, goofiest smiles. And I was like, they obviously, I don't know. I'm sure they'd love to be free, but at the same time, I think they're just happy that they're not
being abused.
They were. Exactly.
Yeah.
So again, this is about the only update we have on this case. I'm definitely following this one extremely closely.
I don't blame you.
I do think that there is a new hope for this case, especially after the whole Gypsy Rose thing, because in my opinion,
exactly,
they had it worse.
Exactly.
And
what
they
is
both
the
did
difference
the same
other than she's a woman?
No, exactly.
Listen, the podcast blows up 6 months from now.
We get
everybody
the
best brothers up here.
Best brothers
everybody
on the podcast.
Hears what we said, and they're like, "Oh, dang, we got to look into this more."
Can you imagine?
They're calling us out right now.
That's what happened to Adnan Syed. He got convicted of killing his girlfriend. Never did it. Claimed his innocence from day one. Was framed by the state. Served 20 years. And some girl did a podcast breaking down the whole case with every piece of evidence. And he just got out a year ago.
I love that.
Nice.
Isn't that crazy?
He should sue the state.
Huh?
He should sue the state.
I'm pretty sure he is.
You really want to sue the state kick today, aren't you?
Honestly, I hate the government.
I mean, felt.
Moving to the next case. Two men have been indicted by a federal grand jury for allegedly bombing a woman's house one day after she moved in and plotting to kill her daughter. I have no idea about this.
Really? I found this yesterday. I was going through True Crime Daily because I like to read that in the morning to start my day off.
Of course you do.
Started the day off right.
I saw this. The headline was just two men bomb woman, set python in child's room. And I said, huh?
Oh my gosh.
So I have to read it. So 37-year-old Stephen Glosser and 34-year-old Caleb Kinsey were actively stalking this woman for roughly a month.
Oh.
And over that stalking freaks me out, dude. That's my
for sure
biggest fear. And over that period, they basically devised this plan to, quote unquote, this is what they told police, shoot arrows through the victim's front door, buy and free a, quote unquote, large python into the victim's home to eat the victim's daughter, send
what
dead rats heck? And animal feces in the mail, scalp her and bomb her home.
What? Okay, this is... We went from stalking, and then I don't understand the animal feces.
Feels like McCamey Manor.
Yes. That place scares me.
Me too. We should do an episode on that one day.
Please, can we?
Yes.
Do you know McCamey Manor?
No.
Don't look it up. You need to be here for that one.
Don't look it up.
I used
As
to
I
go
look it up.
Down... The worst rabbit holes.
So off track. I used to go down the worst rabbit holes literally in the middle of the night, probably at an age when I should not have been watching the McCamey Manor videos. And I would just sit up for hours watching videos of people going through this freaking haunted house. And I don't know how this guy gets away with it.
Because they're
signing
waivers.
It's in Tennessee. But still, I feel like there's something not legal about it.
What do you mean? They're signing rights away.
I feel like there's something not legal about it still.
Why are you signing your rights away? If you, that should, you should because, not ever have to cite your rights.
The thing is, scary. It started
it's
as.
It's when they give you like trip and fall, but it's, like.
It started as, he marketed it as the world's scariest haunted house. And
it's
there,
so it's much past.
The waiver you have
gory,
to sign
so bad. There's videos.
Is like 20 pages long.
Yeah,
nobody
really
have a wait.
It literally
no, they have
says
a wait
that you're
list.
Okay with voluntarily having your bones broken.
Yes.
And your teeth
yes.
Taken
and nobody
out
reads waivers.
They shave people's heads.
Yes.
It's like, it's just like. Psychological abuse, like
no,
that's
exactly.
What they put these people
for
through.
Why?
But again, nobody reads waivers. They sign off on
house.
It, and now all of a sudden he
see
has
Jake
these,
Paul do it.
Huh? What'd you say?
I want to see Jake Paul do it.
I'd watch that.
Or Mr. Beast.
To be totally honest, forgot Jake Paul was a thing.
He's about to wrestle Mike Tyson.
I was gonna say, yeah, isn't that the guy who keeps trying to wrestle people?
No, apparently he's about to wrestle.
So stupid.
Mike Tyson.
So stupid.
We went in 15
you know
different ways.
I would love to see in McKamey Manor.
Who?
Danny DeVito.
He because would
die.
He would die. No, my money's on Danny DeVito.
Anyway,
I mean, him as the Penguin specifically.
I'm going to need you to go and watch a video on McKamey Manor, though.
Yeah,
and
that's a whole rabbit hole. I think we should save that for an episode.
Chat.
Because
no, for sure.
It's insane, dude.
Did
anyways.
She say save it to the group chat? Is that what like, you just said?
Yeah, send it to the group chat after you watch a video of McKamey Manor, dude.
It's so terrifying.
Bad.
It's so
ugh,
terrifying.
It grosses me out.
Yeah. Back to the bombing.
Yeah. So the men mapped out her home and built an explosive that was set to go off January 13th. And it did. Thankfully, no one was hurt and most of the damage was only done to the garage. So obviously they didn't map her house out very well.
Right. Or didn't make it explode enough.
No, exactly. The men were convicted and are expected to face 20 years. Good news is they moved in literally the day before. So none of their belongings were even in the home yet.
Right. And I did read this morning about it that apparently it wasn't a random stalking. Supposedly one of the guys had a relationship at some point with the woman. But I honestly don't know how I ever believe that because a lot of stalkers always believe that they're in a relationship with the woman and the mom.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
I'm waiting for more details
on that.
And
honestly, they probably mapped the house out from like Zillow pictures.
Oh, I'm sure. I
that's
guarantee
not mapping
it.
The house out. You're just looking at pictures on Zillow.
I guarantee it.
Golly.
So another big case from a couple years ago is back in the news. The University of Idaho murders.
Do you know about this one? Really?
Really?
Brian Koberger, who is the leading suspect in the case, is still in custody and is getting ready to face trial, where he's being charged with 4 counts of murder. He has announced that he plans to call in over 400 witnesses. So what that case, the University of Idaho, there's not a video, is there? I saw like a video walkthrough, I guess, on TikTok of what had happened when this all went out. But they were living off campus. They were all University of Idaho students.
Four of them.
And there were four of them in this house and they all got murdered. And this is the suspect. He doesn't even go to University of Idaho.
I thought he was one of the professors.
I think he's a grad. I know he's a grad student.
Really?
I thought he was a
professor. But I honestly, I didn't follow this case too closely, to be honest.
I just learned, like through TikTok is what I was getting, but they have since torn that house down.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I saw that and I said, what the heck?
Yeah. So he is also pulling cell tower information to help create an alibi, which I don't believe in.
No. Well, his thing is he was by himself, driving around by himself the night of the murders. I'm like, yeah. That's a great alibi.
Yeah, I don't. Cell tower information is just so easy to like spin into your own story. Like what I was talking about earlier, Adnan Syed, when he got convicted, solely a lot of it was based on cell tower information that they just kind of spun to fit a narrative they created. And I don't trust it enough to like use it as like hardcore evidence that, oh, this is where you were.
Yeah.
No, you were near that area at some point.
No, exactly.
I don't know. Mm. I don't buy it.
So he's also put in a request to move the location of the trial due to the large media coverings this case has had in the area he is. As of yesterday, March 14th, his most recent appeal to have the charges thrown out has been denied.
Which I'm not surprised. He took that to the highest court he could, too. And they told him, no.
The Supreme Court?
I guess. That's all
the
article said.
He could.
Yeah. That's why I didn't throw that in there because I wasn't sure if it was like the highest court or if it was just like the one he had.
He said, I went to the judge and the judge said,
pretty much
denied.
He said, no.
He said, actually, I was talking to the dude standing outside of my jail cell.
So this next case, obviously Caitlin threw in here because she
listen,
has a
I
thing
love
for
keeping up with. I love keeping up with death row.
It's also what seems to be our favorite topic
I
on
check
this
it,
freaking
like,
podcast.
Every month.
Yeah. So
yeah, she says her favorite topic is cannibalism, but it's not.
It's execution.
It's killing
I think it's
killers.
Both of
I
them.
I do think it's both of them. I think you have a weird thing going on with that.
It's
but
okay.
She's hit okay. The
I blame Sebastian Stan and Fresh.
Don't get me started.
I think, still need to watch.
Listen, I love that movie. I think I have a type and it's the villain. No, I think that's real. Why I am so attracted to Heathcliff and I'm so attracted to Sebastian Stan in that movie. Okay,
well, I'm going to stop you right there. I think it's unfair to call Heathcliff a villain.
He is. Well, he's the villain of the story.
I think Catherine's the villain
thank
of the story.
Me too. Sorry. Whoa.
Actually, what if it's Lockwood?
That Sarah. Man did nothing but sit on his butt and get told a bedtime story the entire book.
Sarah
but
it hates scary. Lockwood.
It was scary for him.
He said, "Shiver me timbers."
No, he was literally the whole. I was telling Caitlin the other day. He's so pointless. The whole like 30 first 40 pages, he's complaining because he shows up at someone else's house. They don't want him there, and he gets mad because he has to walk home alone at night. I'm sorry.
Okay, but like. Let's steal a Sarah phrase here because she'll be like, "I'm just a girl." Maybe he's like, "He's no. not a girl." Maybe he's like, "I'm just a guy."
Well, you know what?
I would just cold.
And then I would say, "You're just a guy." Well, die then.
No, okay. Literally,
I don't have a problem with Lockwood though. Anyway, execution.
Sorry,
no, you're fine.
People that have never read Wuthering Heights are going to be so confused.
That's fine. Everyone, go read Wuthering Heights, it's and essential. Then you'll understand most of the things we talk about on this podcast.
Catherine's a piece of trash.
I agree.
Fair enough.
You can't be anyways. Stringing a man along like that. It's just not fair.
It's not fair.
What if Heathcliff strung himself along thinking there was something there?
No.
Listen, I have thought about that. But I don't think that's fair because even when she accepted Edgar's engagement, what did she do right after? He's more myself than I am. I love him. He's that's my fair. Soul. You can't tell a man that and then go get married like a month later. I would run off to him and become a better person for you. I can't get started.
All right.
Anyways.
Oh, execution. The Georgia execution. Back at it. The Georgia Attorney General has announced that Willie James Pye is scheduled to die on March 20th of this year. Mr. Pye was convicted and sentenced to the death in 1996 for the kidnapping, robbery, rape, and murder of his ex-girlfriend, Alicia Yarborough. He believes that he wasn't properly represented. His attorney spent nowhere near average or appropriate time that it usually takes to represent someone in his position going up for the death penalty.
Right. So poor representation also means that his attorney did little to no looking into his history and neglected to find that, quote unquote, near constant physical and emotional abuse, extreme parental neglect, endangerment and abject poverty was present. So he battled severe depressive episodes, reported hearing voices prior to the killing. But I was thinking about this last night. Ted Bundy could say the same thing. He could say the same thing about all of those things. So I don't know how much that really holds with me.
Which I will say part of the unfair representation claim that he is African-American and supposedly who was chose to represent him was state appointed and has history of being racist.
Well, this attorney also has history of have three other people being executed.
No,
so
exactly.
I don't think they're a great attorney to start with.
No, for sure. He said, I'm just going to do a bad job because I think they should die.
No, literally, which I agree. That's not fair.
So the attorney instead played on and pulled witnesses to try and save James' good character. James Pye will be the third client, like Sarah said.
Yeah.
To be executed.
Yeah.
So. Which I did see literally when I was trying to verify something I was about to say one day ago. Board to weigh clemency for Georgia death row inmate on eve of execution. So
I don't know what you just said.
Huh?
I have no idea what you just said.
They're putting a board together to weigh clemency for him.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
So we have two more cases to talk about before we are closing out this episode. I was trying because Caitlin found, she probably found majority of, I guess, these cases.
I was bored at work on Tuesday.
Yeah, she compiled a list and then I was reading through True Crime Daily. That's where I found a couple of these, but specifically found two about Kentucky. And I was like, oh, we can have a little local moment.
Yeah.
They're both cold cases that are being reopened this year.
I will
year.
Say, I think in this era of the internet and especially podcast, a lot more cold cases are being reopened.
1,000%.
Are they from Bardstown?
Yeah, that's a great question.
I don't think they are.
No. Can we do a Bardstown episode?
What Tori is Bardstown? Loves
Bardstown?
I love the Bardstown really? Murders. Don't get me started.
Oh, we need to be doing that then. I've never heard of
don't
that.
Don't get me started.
But don't get me started. But I will say there is a lady in local here. There's that case where that lady was found burned in a barn, and she is trying to open up that case and find who
the
did it.
The one outside of Knoxville?
Yes.
Yeah.
Girl,
yeah.
There's some about Knoxville.
Knoxville's...
Nope.
Anyway. Our first cold case is from 1985. A male victim was discovered by children playing in the woods in West Palm Beach, Florida. The unidentified...
Go ahead. Try again.
I'm going to. The unidentifiable victim was recovered and the case was ruled a homicide. DNA was taken and saved into the database as a John Doe.
Right. This year, using skeletal remains, I love that they did this, a comprehensive DNA profile was created, and this gave officials the first lead they've had. And they were able to positively identify the victim as Terry Ketron of Kentucky. According to the sheriff's office, Ketron had traveled from Kentucky to Florida with his female companion, either named Connie or Bonnie.
All right.
In the early 1980s.
All right. Ketron's family had reportedly last heard from him via phone when he, quote, shared information that he was having problems with his girlfriend and her family members. His family hadn't heard from him since, and they did not know his location.
Which I think again, we know who did it. 80s.
No, for sure.
So this case currently remains unsolved, but investigators are now looking into his death and working to identify the female companion.
Well, if they don't know her first name, that's a big start.
Well, there's got to be something tying them together.
Well, also, like, you call her specifically his female companion.
Right.
Like, if she was, like, actually his girlfriend, I feel like people would just say that.
Maybe she was an escort.
But it's sketchy as heck.
No, exactly. Yeah. So I feel like if they can find out who this woman is, I feel like they've got...
No, for sure.
Like the case in the bag.
Yeah,
but now we got now we have to figure out who this mysterious
female companion
woman is.
Female companion.
If anything, the family can now have a little bit of closure knowing where Kenneth is and where he's been this whole time, because he's just been a John Doe for...
I think those are so sad.
No, for sure.
Like, they're so sad.
For sure. Hopefully they can track down the woman he was with and maybe they can catch the killer.
Yeah. You never know who you're dating.
Don't look at me.
They weren't dating.
We don't know that.
They were companioning.
You never know who you're sleeping with.
Don't look at me. What the heck?
So our last and final case is our second Kentucky cold case that is also being reopened this year. In 1999 in Mayfield, Kentucky, two fishermen at Lake Barkley discovered a man, quote unquote, wrapped in heavy tire chains and anchored with a hydraulic jack.
What the heck?
Isn't that cool? Investigators couldn't immediately identify the individual, and the case just pretty much went cold.
I love that. They're like, we don't know who he is.
That's how majority of the 80s were.
Dead body.
Well, they didn't have any of the science really do anything.
That's fair. The body was exhumed in 2016 and new, more advanced DNA tests were conducted in hopes of identifying the victim. Despite everything, the man was still unidentified and DNA was stored in the system.
So earlier this year, Kentucky State Police sent a DNA sample to Othram, who created a DNA profile of the man using forensic genetic genealogy.
I love that.
And that's so cool. I think it's so interesting. They found a relative through this DNA and basically tracked him down, spoke to him, and eventually investigators positively identified the man as Roger Dale Parham. Kentucky State Police said the information led to a bunch of new revelations.
I love that. At the time of his disappearance, Parham was living in Fort Smith, Arkansas, awaiting trial on, quote, various criminal charges. He went missing in March of 1999, which Kentucky State Police said he did to avoid prosecution. Turns out, this man was placed on the FBI's most wanted list.
So, according to the FBI's most wanted list, he was arrested in November of 1998 for allegedly raping an underage girl.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I love all the allegedlies.
No, for sure.
That's my favorite word, allegedly.
It'd make a pretty name if it didn't mean what it meant.
Okay.
He was released on bond and then failed to appear in court. The judge revoked his bond and on June 3rd of 1999 was issued a bench warrant for his arrest. He was charged in federal courts in the Western District of Arkansas for unlawful flight to avoid persecution.
Lovely. Prosecution. Prosecution.
Purse.
Nope.
I like how I said it.
Well, you said it wrong.
That's okay.
It's a different word.
I'm not living to be right.
I love that.
I'm just here to be here.
Kentucky State Police said his cause of death is undetermined, but it is being investigated as a homicide, quote, due to the suspicious circumstances in which the remains were located.
Wait, no, duh. I can't think anything other than her family did it, because sorry, if I went home as a little girl and said, hey, even now, hey, Dad, no. Somebody rape me.
No, exactly.
My dad
she
is
said,
going
even
to prison.
Now. Real. Listen, that's one thing I love. He's deceased, but my grandfather always said, yeah, if anything happens and you'll have to kill somebody, I'll go to jail for you all.
My dad used to, whenever, oh, this is crazy. I shouldn't be saying this, but because my sister, she's dated a couple boys in her teenage years, and she still says it now. Every time she's brought a boy home to like meet my dad or something, my dad waits until my sister goes away to go do like, go get something from the fridge or something. And he looks at the guy and he always tells him, I'm okay with going to prison. You hurt her. I'm wearing your skin as a suit until the police show up.
I love that.
You know what? So, bravo.
I love... Your dad is my favorite.
Ain't that crazy?
So your dad is Buffalo Bill.
Literally.
That's what you're telling me.
He's
Buffalo
psycho.
Bill.
And I love it.
Huh.
Runs in the family.
Honestly, yeah. That would make sense.
Yeah.
If it was her family. Huh. Interesting. So this case being reopened means we'll probably hear more soon, depending on whether or not they're able to trace the killing back to somebody.
I also kind of hate that, though, because, like, I think general consensus in this room is that it was definitely her parents.
Oh, 1,000%.
Let it lie.
1,000%.
Let it lie.
1,000%. And the fact that they got away with it for this long.
No,
like,
that's why I'm like,
exactly.
Leave it alone.
Leave it alone.
No, that's
exactly.
He was a bad guy. Just... Anyways, that concludes the killer events of March. I feel like we had a pretty good lineup this time.
How'd you feel about being on the pod?
I think it's fun.
Isn't it cool?
I'm just happy to be here.
Did you get an answer for what your favorite like true crime case is, or like
she has not
yeah, yeah, I was thinking about that. Like, so I don't want to be like, oh yeah, like cannibalism. I think
no, for sure.
It's just it is
don't be basic.
It is
don't dog me.
I also super loved the show Hannibal like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like really really find like Victorian serial killers fascinating.
Really,
listen. Do you have any theories on what's your theory on
Girl,
Jack the Ripper?
Girl, it was a woman.
That's what I'm saying.
It was a
midwife.
Sarah's wrong.
Well,
Sarah's
here's
wrong.
The thing. I'll admit I may be wrong because I haven't done enough looking into it to like really like stand by my opinion, but like in my head it's always just been a man. So
that's the picture they painted. They wanted
I'm
you to
sure.
believe.
No, for sure. I have like 3 books on him that I've just never touched.
I feel like if it had been a man, they would have found him because they were looking
exactly.
for a man. That's so the woman
fair.
Just kind of under the rug very
that's
easily.
Fair. That,
did you love that I knew where you were going with that before
yes.
you even got the question out?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Fun times. Well, I think we have covered what we can since our last update. Thank you all for tuning in to this week's episode of Crime and Punishment. Like we said, this has been Killer Events. And remember, stay safe.
Stay alert.
And stay alive.
We'll talk to y'all next time.
Good stuff, guys. How do I stop this?